Chapter 64, Peace and Plenty. And then the crowd was deathly still again. Papa and Mona and Frank joined us on the reviewing stand. One snare drum played as they did so. The drumming stopped when Papa pointed a finger at the drummer. He wore a shoulder holster on the outside of his blouse. The weapon in it was a chromium-plated 45. He was an old, old man, as so many members of my carass were. He was in poor shape. His steps were small and bounceless. He was still a fat man, but his lard was melting fast, for his simple uniform was loose. The balls of his hop-toed eyes were yellow. His hands trembled. His personal bodyguard was Major General Franklin Honecker, whose uniform was white. Frank, thin-wristed, narrow-shouldered, looked like a child kept up long after his customary bedtime. On his breast was a medal. I observed the two, Papa and Frank, with some difficulty, not because my view was blocked, but because I could not take my eyes off Mona. I was thrilled, heartbroken, hilarious, insane. Every greedy, unreasonable dream I'd ever had about what a woman should be came true in Mona. There, God love her warm and creamy soul, was peace and plenty forever. That girl, and she was only 18, was rapturously serene. She seemed to understand all, and to be all there was to understand. In the books of Bokonin, she is mentioned by name. One thing Bokonin says of her is this: Mona has the simplicity of the all. Her dress was white and Greek. She wore flat sandals on her small brown feet. Her pale gold hair was lank and long. Her hips were a lyre. Oh, God, peace and plenty forever. She was the one beautiful girl in San Lorenzo. She was the national treasure. Papa had adopted her, according to Philip Castle, in order to mingle divinity with the harshness of his rule. The xylophone was rolled to the front of the stand, and Mona played it. She played When Day Is Done. It was all tremolo, swelling, fading, swelling again. The crowd was intoxicated by beauty. And then it was time for Papa to greet us.